Of that liberty that we have, and we just pray for those that are missing, that you be with them today and draw them closer to you. And we pray that you bless everything that we say and do this morning. Give Brother Matt the words to say. And I pray that will be a blessing to each one of us. And we'll pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. The major announcement I need to make sure I get in for Sunday school is not this coming Wednesday, but the following Wednesday. Brother Cliff Zimmerman will be here to speak. So some of you who are sometimes not able to be here on a Wednesday, we're hoping we have enough notice so that you can try to plan your schedule and be here. And he was a real blessing when he was here a few weeks ago on a Sunday morning. So hope you'll come and join us. Wednesday at 7 p.m. is when we have our service. So hope you'll be here for that. All right. Let's get back to singing then. Number 63, I've Got Peace Like a River in My Soul. Blame it on you, but it's we still like to sing it anyway. Number 211, In My Father's House.
Father's house.
birthday scheduled for this week. So we only have one children's class today, but it can be dismissed now. Romans chapter 10. We're still on Romans chapter 10, verse 14, but we'll start with verse 8, which is where we began. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 14. I'll say those together. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee,
even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?
Hello. There we go. All right. Good morning. It's been a while, hasn't it? When was the last time I was here? I think it was about 15 pounds ago. Amen. But I never thought that my weight would ever begin with the number one. Never. Last week I was down to 198. And I'm trying to get down to 100 pounds. No, geez. You know, when you go from 330 to 200, people say, oh, my goodness, man, what are you going to? I mean, you're so skinny. I'm skinny because of what you remember. Amen. But anyway, I thank the Lord, for helping me out. That's for sure. But we sang that song. Everything's all right in our Father's house. And obviously, it's not the church house that's got everything all right, because everybody's going through something. It's not my house that's got everything all right. Amen. And your house neither. But thank God that we are all headed to the place where everything's perfect. Amen. Brother Freeman's already there, and many other loved ones that we have, they're already there. And everything is all right there. Amen. And that's what you and I get hope and encouragement. Amen. We're all going through something. Amen. Can I get a witness on that one? We're all going through something. There's no doubt about it. And if you're not, prepare. You will. Man is born, Job, man is born in not many days. Troubles. Amen. I was studying years ago Psalms, the book of Psalms. And I think, by the way, when you're in trouble, Book of Psalms is probably one of the best books that you can go to. You always find the psalmist pouting, doubting, but usually by the end of the psalm, he's shouting praises to the Lord. He starts out gloomy and then he ends off with glory, you know. David obviously wrote, they believe, about 73 of the psalms, which is, you know, almost half of them. But David obviously was a man who went through it. He went through many things before he committed some great sins. And then he went through a lot of bad things after he committed those great sins. Not that he wasn't forgiven, but as one writer I remember reading, it says, oh, the consequences of forgiven sins. We might be forgiven, but we still go through the consequences of what has been forgiven. Amen. But nonetheless, Psalms 11, 12 and 13. Now, I'm not preaching on that this morning, but this is something that's been in my heart as I go through the troubles of life, as I did in the past and as I do presently, and I know I will until the Lord comes. Amen. In fact, I want you to turn there. I'll take a few moments to give you just the gist of it. And my encouragement is, if you're going through something, this trilogy, Psalm 11, 12, and 13, this trilogy is probably just some good chapters to think and meditate and read, if you will. Psalm chapter 11, 12, and 13. I'm going to give you just a little bit of something before I get into what I have for us this morning. Psalms chapter number 11, 12, and 13. These three are called, many call a trilogy, because they were written by David, and it is believed that they were written at the same time period. They believe that David wrote these three psalms while he was living in the court of Saul. In other words, it was the time period when Saul was trying to kill him. You know, he was working for Saul, and Saul was getting jealous of him and all kinds of other things. And so David was a man who just always was going through it. That's for sure. And by the way, Jesus said, you and I must go through much tribulation. Paul said we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of heaven. We are just bound by troubles. As a matter of fact, I'll use this statement. Troubles are here for good. They're here for good. And that good is in two meanings. They're here for good in reference to the fact that they're here until we're gone. But also they could be good, not necessarily how they come, but sometimes the fact that what they can produce can be good. Amen. Look at Psalm 11, verse number 1. I just want to give you this thought. If I would say this, if David wrote this trilogy, which he did, and if it's the same time period, he's gone through what he's gone through, 11:1. 12:1 and 13:1, the first verse of each one of these chapters, to me, gives a good ingredients or instructions on how to go through troubles. I didn't say how to get through troubles, because sometimes you're not going to get through it completely and not immediately, but how to go through troubles. And the first thing that he did and that we need to do is we need to trust the Lord. Look at verse number 1 of Psalm 11. In the Lord put I my trust. In fact, there were people telling him that he ought to flee and, you know, as a bird to your mountain, and where's your God? And just, you read the chapter. But one of the things that David said, what I'm going to trust in the Lord, one of the things we all have to do, which is not always easy to do when you're in the midst of troubles, is trust the Lord. One of the things that Job did, and I don't have no idea how in the world he did it. I have not probably had the tenth of Job's troubles. And I'm probably, you know, matter of fact, when you read and study the life of Job, just the first two chapters, he lost everything. He lost everything. And then it says at the end of all those troubles, he did not sin with his lips. Could you imagine that? I get into a jam, my lips are sinning. Car jam, that is. Amen? I get into a private, somebody cuts me off, my lip, you know? Little things, I could say, you know? But the fact of the matter is, Job was an upright man. Job was a righteous man. In fact, there was nobody like him during that time period, it says. There's none like Job. But, and he went through, lost his family, lost his finances, lost all kinds of things, his fortune, and his wife even said, you know, just curse God and die. And some believe that she's actually being sympathetic. She's saying, man, you're just really going through. You might be better off out of here. Curse God and die. And he didn't sin with his lips. He didn't charge God foolishly. Didn't blame God for these things. In fact, though he slay me, and matter of fact, he had the wrong person in mind. It wasn't the Lord slaying him, but though he slay me, even if it was the Lord, yet will I trust him. Somebody said you can't always trace his hand, but you can always trust his heart. You don't know what he's doing, what's going on, and but we can always trust his heart that he loves me. He loves me and wants the best for me. I have no idea. In fact, sometimes we don't know what's going on until after it's gone on. It has gone on. Jesus said to the disciples in John 13, when he began to wash the disciples' feet, he told Peter, he said, what I do, you know not now. You don't understand why I'm bowing down. I'm the Lord of Lords. I'm the King of Kings. I'm getting ready to bow down and wash your feet. And Peter was like, whoa, you're not going to do it. He said, you don't understand what I'm doing. You got to let me finish what I'm doing. When I'm done, then you'll understand why I did what I did. We go through. We have no idea what in the world God is doing until he's done. My father-in-law gave an illustration of this, and he said when he was a boy, his mom was crochet, and he as a little boy would sit at her feet while she's crocheting. Now, I don't know much about crocheting or whatever it is, but from what I understand, when they're making some kind of pattern, when you're on the bottom looking up, the only thing you see is strings hanging. You have no idea what in the world she's making up top. Obviously, she's not crocheting a mess. She's crocheting something beautiful, but when he looked up, he's wondering, what in the world is she making? It don't look good from here. Not until he can get that perspective that she has. We have no idea sometimes what in the world is going on. We can't always trace his hand, but we can always trust his heart. What I'm saying is David said, I'm going through it, but one thing I need to learn to do is trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Now listen, I think that one of the best ways to trust the Lord is to get to know the Lord. In fact, get this. If your pages are open like mine, I believe. No, look at in chapter 9, Psalm chapter 9. I just want you to see something for a moment. Chapter number 9. Look at verse number 10. In fact, David wrote this psalm too. Look what he says in verse number 10. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. When you know his name, his names reveal his character. Who is Jehovah Jireh? He's the Lord that provides. Who is Jehovah Rapha? He's the Lord our healer. Who is Jehovah Ra? He's the Lord our shepherd. Who is El Shaddai? He is, according to that text, the breasted one, the one who supplies my every need, the one who makes me fruitful. What I'm saying to you is if you and I get to know his name, get to know him, the better we know him, the more we will trust him. Amen? You trust people, you get to know that their character is trustworthy. Some people you get to know more, you trust them less. Can I get a witness on that one? Because you realize their character and their word ain't worth nothing. But when you get to know and trust somebody that their word means something, then they stand behind what they're saying. The better you get to know him, the better we can trust him. And so what I'm saying to you is one of the things that David did and one of the things that we need to learn to do is through our troubles, trust the Lord. Amen. Through it all. How many people remember that one? Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. And it all had to do with his word. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There's been times I didn't know right from wrong. Amen. All of it. We need to learn to trust him. And I'm not saying to you, I have done that. Boy, there are times that we sing the songs that we sing and I get convicted. I'm sitting here singing, I've got peace like a river. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got love like an ocean. And I'm thinking to myself, I really don't. Not at this moment. I'm only being honest with you, brother and sisters. Because it don't matter. You know what I mean? The truth of the matter. There's a song. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. And then it goes on. I'm so glad I've learned to trust him. And I'd be honest with you, I have not learned to trust him, not the way I want to. I actually switched the song words in my mind to justify it to be true. I'm so glad I'm learning to trust him. To say I'm glad I've learned to trust, I have not learned to trust him. If I did, it'd be perfect. It'd be great. I'm learning to lean, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, right? I'm learning to do that. What I'm saying to you is David, in this psalm, as he's going through it. Now, he didn't say to me, trust the Lord as I'm going through it. He showed us one of the things he did while he's going through what he's going through. He trusted the Lord. He trusts the Lord because he knew the Lord. In fact, we know he knew the Lord. He said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. He is my shepherd. I am related. I shall not want. I know that he's going to meet my needs because he's my shepherd. Amen. He knew, he was confident that he had a relation with the Lord. He was confident that he had the Lord's provisions for him. He knew the Lord led him in the right places, in the right paths for his name's sake. And he led him near the right waters and the right greenery, if you will, to eat. And he knew, by the way, too, at the end of all of that, that he would be with the Lord forever in the house of the Lord. Amen. One of the first things we need to learn to do as we go through what we go through is we need to learn to trust the Lord, and may God help us to do that. Amen. Let's get in the Word and let's get to know him. In fact, I think the better we know him, the more resting we'll have, the more peace we'll have. Jesus said in, I believe it's Matthew 11, 28 to 30, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. He says this, take my yoke upon you, link up with me. Take my yoke upon you. He said this, learn of me. Learn of me. By the way, if you get close enough to him, you'll not just learn of him, you'll learn of him from him. Amen. Learn of me. And here's what he says after learn of me. And you shall find rest unto your souls. Amen. Learn of me. For I am what? Meek and lowly in heart. Learn of me. Come learn my heart. I'm meek. I'm gentle. I'm kind. I'm gracious. I'm compassionate. When you find a heart like that, you can't help but rest in that, hope in that, trust in that. Amen. Turn to Psalm 37, if you would, or 36. I don't know about you, but I always get something special from this book. Amen. Psalm 36. Look at verse number 7. I want you to see something. Psalm 36, verse number. I'm just saying this. You and I, as David was going through what he was going through, he said, I trust the Lord. And one of the things that we all need to do is we need to trust the Lord. In fact, sometimes we're going through what we're going through that we might trust him more. I want you to look with me in verse number 7, Psalm 36, 7. Notice what, again, we're hearing everything from David for some reason this morning. David wrote this, the man of troubles. Watch this. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. God's love is excellent, right? Watch what he says, therefore. See the word therefore? Therefore is therefore a reason. In light of the excellent love of God, how the children of men, that's you and I, humanity, we what? Put our trust under the shadow of his what? Wings. What David is saying, God, your love is so excellent. In fact, I would say perfect. Perfect love cast out fear, because fear brings torment, book of John says, 1 John. David said, the love of God is so good, it makes me put my trust in him and trust under the feathers of his wings. The hen loves the chickens, cares for the chickens, wants to protect the chickens. Jesus said to Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you like a hen gathers her brood under her wings. I love you and want to take care of you. But David is saying, when you see the heart of love like that, you can't help but flee to his arms. The Bible says in Galatians, I think it's 5:6, that faith worketh by love. See, love produces trust. An illustration years ago my father-in-law gave when he was preaching, his son Nathaniel Penichetti, was a little guy, but he was a chunky guy. And he took Nathaniel and he put him up in the church sanctuary, he put him up on top of the piano. And he said to Nathan, and he called the piano player. And by the way, the piano player was just a little oddball looking. He was kind of weird. Not this guy here. He's a good looking guy. And so this guy gets up there and you know, Nathaniel, he's looking at this guy, you know, he's like, and so he said to this guy named John, who was the piano player, he said, Nathaniel, jump in John's arms. And John's just standing there and Nathaniel's looking at him and what's happening? So my father-in-law came down from the pulpit and he turned around and he said, Nathaniel, jump in my arms. No problem. No problem. Why? I don't know this guy. I don't know if he loves me enough to keep me from falling and hurting myself. But I know him. He's my father. And I know he loves me. And I know he's not going to let me fall and hurt myself. If any of you fathers, Matthew chapter 7, know how to give good gifts unto your children and your sinful beings, how much more your heavenly Father. It says we'll give the Holy Ghost unto you, but in another text it says we'll give you good gifts. See, our Father will not make no mistakes. If you ask for bread, he's not going to give you a stone. If you ask for an egg, he's not going to give you a scorpion. You know what I mean? I want you to know that sometimes we go through things, and as we go through those things, I might not be trusting him, but I can learn to trust him through that situation. In fact, sometimes God puts us out on a limb. I heard a preacher one time say, yeah, go out on a limb, brothers and sisters in Christ, because that's where the fruit is at. Well, I'm not one to initially go out on a limb on my own. I don't know about you. I don't say, yeah, throw me out on the limb. I feel like going out there. I'm the kind of guy, and to be honest with you, if the Lord's going to have me out on a limb, he's going to have to push me out there. I'm just not volunteering to go out there. Amen. And what I'm saying to you is sometimes the Lord has to put us in a place where we have to trust him. There's absolutely nothing else we can do. Somebody said this, we'll never know what God alone can do until God alone has to do it. I want you to turn with me for a moment to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. I prayed for God in mercy to give us something to help our hearts today. We're winging it this morning, be honest with you. But that's okay. That's okay. As long as the Lord's in it. If he in mercy will speak to our hearts, we don't deserve it. But we're thankful that he loves us and cares for us. Knows where we are. You ever hear that song, He Knows My Name? Counts the stars, one and all. You know, he knows the names of the stars, names them. He knows me. He knows my name. He cares for me. He cares for you. He knows the hairs on our head. For some of us, it's not too hard. Amen. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to look with me in verse number 8. Here's what Paul the Apostle said to the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 8. He said, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came unto us in Asia. I believe it was when he was in Ephesus. Paul's telling them about the troubles he went through. He said that we were pressed out of measure. Pressed out of measure. In other words, Paul's saying we went through some things. And by the way, Paul did go through a lot. There's no doubt about it. Look what it says. Above strength. We went through something that pressed us out of measure. It was above strength. It was above what we could handle. It goes on to say, in so much that we despaired even of what? Life. In other words, Paul said, we were in such a situation, we thought we were done. It was over. Look at verse number 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves. That's what he's saying. It's over. We were to the point in our life, he said, that we should not trust in ourselves. In other words, God allowed them to go through some situation and some circumstance that they were in a place that they could not even trust themselves, in the sense that there's nothing I can do. There's nothing we can do. If anything is going to be done, God is going to have to do it. See, the problem is I don't want to be in a place where I can't do it. I don't want to be in a place where I can't handle it. By the way, it ain't a trouble or a trial unless you can't handle it. Amen? He goes on to say, But in God, we had to trust in God, which raises the dead. We figured if we're going to die, God's going to have to raise us up. They were in a bad place. Now look at verse number 10. Here's what he says about God, who delivered us. In other words, we were in a situation that was above us and beyond us. And by the way, always remember, everything that's above your head and my head is always still under his feet. Amen. He said, we were in such a situation, such a circumstance. We knew we were done. We couldn't even trust ourselves. We had to trust in God and God alone. God and God alone. And by the way, he said he delivered us. He delivered us from so great a death. And he doth deliver us. Not only did he deliver us in the past, he delivers us now. And then he goes on to say, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Amen? We want to trust him more, but we don't want to go through what it takes to learn to trust him more. You understand that or no? I want to gain muscles. I know I have too many as it is. Oh, yeah. I want to gain muscles. Well, what are you going to do? You got to work out. I don't want to do that. I don't want to work out. It's hard. It's difficult. It's tough. And you get tired. I want this, but I don't want to do what it takes to get it. I don't want to tear my muscles and let them repair and rebuild. I don't want to go through that process. I don't want to be stretched. It's not my choice to do that. We want to grow in faith. We want to learn to trust the Lord, but we don't want to go through what makes us to trust him. Amen? To me, getting on an airplane is one of the places where you learn to trust the Lord. Can I get a witness? Now, I'm not a frequent flyer, and when I first started flying, it was scary. It was real scary. But you know what happened, man? You get in that plane and you have a few drinks. I'm teasing. I'm just teasing, by the way. Don't hold me against that. Take that off the record. You get on the plane and you're like, you know, your first experience. And then it starts, you take it off. And then all of a sudden, you dang it. And once you're in the air, my feet are on the bottom of this metal tin can that I'm in. Once I'm up there, I'm telling you, bro, this is how I felt. There's nothing I can do now. You understand what I'm saying to you? You want to talk about no turning back? No turning back. What I'm saying to you was you're fearful and I mean you're whatever. But once you're up there, you're in God's hands, you feel. Seriously, that's how you feel. That's how I felt. I felt like there's nothing I can do now. It's over. I'm here. I have to trust the Lord. There's nothing else I can do. Now, sometimes you regret making that stupid decision to get on there in the first place. I've done that with some things. I'm afraid of heights. I do not. And the older I get, the worse it is. And I remember getting on things and, man, regretting it. We were in Gatlinburg when I was, we lived in Tennessee for a little while, my wife and I and our children. And we were in Gatlinburg. Anybody been to Gatlinburg? It's really beautiful. It's really a nice area up there, you know. And they had this ski lift. And I'm afraid of heights. I get on the thing. And we're headed up the mountain. And you know what? It was beautiful, wonderful. I'm looking at a mountain in front of me. I'm not focused on down. We get to the top of the mountain. Now we got to go back down. That's where it got me. I'm not looking at a mountain in front of me like it's okay. The optics looks like I'm fine. Now I'm looking at a valley. And I'm looking at, oh, man, I'm telling you something. I was paranoid and panicking. I'm holding on, and my son's next to him. I'm trying to be a brave man. He realized I'm not a brave man. And he's doing this, you know, hanging. I'm like, you know. I regretted getting on there, believe me. Sometimes we get in a situation, be it we choose to do so or be it the Lord pushes us. It's teaching people how to swim sometimes, right? Some people got that philosophy. Just get out there. It'll happen. We have to trust the Lord. Turn back to Psalm 12. One of the things, and obviously I'm not going to what I had, and that's okay. Because if I had what I had, it's one thing. If the Lord has something else, it's another thing, right? We want the Lord to speak to our hearts. That's what we want. Psalm 12. So as David's going through, he didn't get through. He's going through. We're reading in Psalm 11 that he was going through something. And his statement was, I put my trust in the Lord. And I know it's easier said than done. I know it's easier said than done. But get to know him. Get in the word. Get to know him. Get to know that you can trust him. Amen? He loves you and so on. But then here's the second thing we have to do as we go through troubles. Look at 12:1. Again, I told you it's 11:1, 12:1, and then 13:1. The second thing is this. We need, number one, according to Psalm 11:1, we need to trust the Lord. Number two, we need to call on the Lord. We need to call on the Lord. In other words, pray. What do we do going through troubles? We trust him. We call on him. We speak to the Lord. We pray. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 12. What did David say during this same time of trouble? Help, Lord. Help, Lord. And by the way, it don't have to be you're spending an hour in that prayer closet. Sometimes it's just simply, help, Lord. Strength in prayer is better than length in prayer. When Peter was beginning to sink, he didn't pray, now I lay me down to sleep, and so on. He said, Lord, save me! It wasn't, oh, our Heavenly Father and all this other stuff. Amen? What did David say? Look at, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. Help, Lord. You and I need to learn to trust the Lord as we go through what we go through, but we need to learn to seek the Lord while we're going through what we're going through. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord, the Bible says, and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Why seek the Lord in the day of my trouble? Look at Psalm 51, if you would, please. Why seek the Lord in the day of my trouble? I'll give you a good reason here. Or Psalm 50, not 51. Again, I'm trying to do things based on memory, so bear with me if you would. Psalm 50:15. Why should I seek the Lord in my trouble? Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to help me to the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? That's why we need to seek the Lord. Where else are we going to go? Look at verse number 15, Psalm 50:15. God said this, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Why should I seek the Lord in the day of my trouble? Why should I call on the Lord in the day of my trouble? Because he's my only hope. I won't do it for the sake of time, but Psalm 107. If you read Psalm 107, you'll read over and over again, they cried unto God in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distresses. They cried unto him in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distresses. Amen. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, Jeremiah 33:3, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Why should I call on the Lord? Because he is my hope. He's my light. He's my salvation. Amen. He's my deliverance. He's my refuge. Look at chapter number 13, if you would, of Psalm. Call on the Lord. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our griefs and sins to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Psalm 62:8 says, trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. A refuge. Amen? At all times, whatever we're going through, we need to learn to pour our hearts out to God. I said to you earlier, when David in the Psalms would pray, it wasn't always just praising God and magnifying him. He would bring his complaint. He would use the word complaint. He brought his complaints and his burdens and his problems and the trials. He just poured it out before the Lord. Amen? Speak with the Lord. Be honest. I don't understand why. In fact, why, I think, is the biggest question. Amen? Even Jesus said it from the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's a glimpse of the humanity of the Son of God. Amen? Psalms chapter number 11, verse 1. What do we do when we go through troubles? We got to trust the Lord. Psalm 12, verse number 1. What do we do when we go through troubles? We need to pray. We need to seek the Lord. And by the way, it's trusting the Lord that motivates us to seek the Lord. Amen? You see, he that cometh to God, Hebrews 11, 6, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen? And then the last thing is this. Look at chapter 13, verse number 1. Again, in this trilogy, David's gone through the sufferings that he's gone through, the trials that he's gone through, like we all do. I know some greater than others, no doubt about it. From this verse, I get this thought. Look at verse number 1. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? And by the way, the Lord didn't forget David, but that's the way David felt. You see, in these Psalms, he's being real. He's expressing to the Lord how he feels. Amen. The world says when it comes to, you know, whatever, honesty is the best policy. When it comes to the Lord, honesty is the only policy, really. He said, forever? In fact, he said to the Lord, forever? He's implying it just seems like it's forever. He said, how long again wilt thou hide thy face from me? Look at verse 2. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted above? How many times? Four times in two verses? What's the statement? How long? How long? How long? You know, I get from this scripture right here, the third thing we all need to do when we're going through a trouble is not only trust the Lord and not only seek the Lord, but we need to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. We all hate waiting. Can I get a witness on that one? Somebody help me with that one. We are a Burger King society, as you've heard that term before. We want what we want and we want it when we want it. In fact, when fast food is no longer fast enough, we're in trouble. Can I get a witness? I mean, listen, you watch the news and you find this crazy person beating up the lady at the window because they weren't right on her count for her nuggets. Or they weren't fast enough for the fries or whatever it is. We live in a fast-paced society. And by the way, it is getting that way. You can order something and have it the next day. I mean, you're going to pay for it. But nonetheless, people don't want to wait. Don't want to wait. And there's one thing we don't want to wait for is we don't want to wait to get out of troubles. Hey, I'm with you on that one. Amen. Can I get a witness? Amen. David was saying, how long, how long, how long, how long? So that tells me one of the things we all have to do is wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. I hate the thought of waiting on the Lord. You want to hear something that's really crazy? How about the thought of waiting patiently? That blows my mind. That's two words now that just kind of, I don't want to hear anybody say, yeah, well, just wait. No, wait patiently. Wait patiently. Yeah, endure it. Psalm 40, the psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a solid rock. He established my goings. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and praise the Lord. And by the way, that's not a salvation testimony. That's a testimony of a man who was already saved. David was already saved. He's talking about God delivered him from some horrible situation. Obviously, he couldn't sing the songs that he would sing in that situation. And it's hard to sing songs in the night. Amen? Wait patiently. Why do I wait? Why should I wait on the Lord? Who else are you going to wait for? Who else are you going to wait for? Look at Psalm 62, if you would, please. Wait for the Lord. Why? Because he's the one that can make the difference and will make the difference. Amen? It's not I'm waiting on this one, I'm waiting on that one. I'm waiting on the Lord. Amen? Look at Psalm 62, if you would, please. Look at verse number 1. We'll begin reading. Truly. That's a unique thought, isn't it? Truly. That means sincerely. Some things ain't sincere. Some things we can say, but we're not really meaning it. Some things, like I said earlier, we can sing, but we don't really mean it. Watch this. And by the way, David in this text says, truly my soul waiteth upon God. In other words, I'm sincerely from the inside waiting on God. Why? Well, look at the rest of the verse. From him cometh my salvation. Don't mix the word salvation, especially in the Old Testament, with the thought of eternal salvation, because this is a word that in essence means deliverance. David said, truly my soul is waiting on God for deliverance. Why would I wait on God for deliverance? Here's one good reason. He is the deliverer. There is no other savior, Isaiah. Amen. If you don't wait on the right one, you're not going to experience what he can do. Amen. Verse number 2. Why should I wait patiently and truly on him? He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. And he goes on, verse number 3. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? And so on. So he's going through whatever he's going through. And look at verse number 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God for my expectation. See that word expectation? That means hope. My expectation, my hope is from him. Why am I waiting on him? He is my hope. Amen? Verse 6, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my deliverance, or my salvation, if you will, and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Verse 8, remember I quoted it earlier? Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Amen. What do we do? What did David do going through the troubles he was going through? And what can we do going through what we're going through? We can do 3 things. And may God help us to do them. Trust the Lord. Seek the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. You ever hear that song? Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. He shall strengthen thine heart. He shall strengthen thine heart. And it goes on to say, so wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. And that's what we need to do. Amen. God help us in this respect. Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you for being merciful to us. Thank you for giving us words from this book that I pray would help us. We're all going through something, or we will go through something. Help us to learn to trust you. Help us to daily seek you, and help us to wait on you and look to you. Help us to lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing our help comes from you. And you never sleep and you never slumber, and you're all powerful. You're the creator of heaven and earth. I pray that you'll bless the time of fellowship and the upcoming service in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we have enough time to use the restroom. I might have went over 2 minutes. Don't hold me against it, please.